As we begin this Remembrance Day, if you are able, wherever you are, please rise for the playing of O Canada. Please be seated. And as we begin, we recognize that we are on the traditional lands of the Pentlatch peoples, the ancestors of the Nanus and Qualicum nations, with whom we continue to work with humility in recognizing truth and working toward reconciliation. So welcome to all of you gathered here, and welcome to all of you who are joining us virtually. And we have a few announcements. The first, I'd like to begin by thanking our singers and Donna for playing, for our tech team, and for the Worship and the Arts team who greeted you and who registered you. So thank you. It takes a lot of people collaborating together to create a worship service. I'd just like to invite you, if you are able, there is a young mom who has reached out to our community with an 11 and 12-year-old who is needing quite a bit of furniture. The Social Justice and Outreach team have found 4 kitchen chairs for her, but she's still in need of a kitchen table and some beds and some pots and pans. And there will be a congregational letter going out to you this week that Social Justice and Outreach team has drafted, listing her needs. And so you may not have any of those things because we just did have a garage sale, but you may know of friends or neighbors or family members who might have something that they can share with this young family. And just to make note that poinsettias, it's that time of year again, I can't believe it, so you might want to offer a gift of a poinsettia to grace the beauty of our sanctuary during the Christmas season. And so you'll know that in your e-news going out. And for those of you who are feeling disconnected, just a reminder that you can always Zoom in with the gathering place on Tuesdays and with Bible study on Wednesdays to keep connected and growing spiritually in this community. And just a note that we have just had, Raina and I have just welcomed a student, international student from Germany who just arrived. And so she is to quarantine for 2 weeks, and so we are making sure that we are also safe, and so that's, you won't see me walking around among you or Rain either, because we're wanting to do that to keep you safe for 2 weeks. And in keeping with that, just a reminder that you are welcome to use the washrooms that are over here behind the kitchen, but these washrooms are reserved for the preschool children. So in this time of COVID and sanitization, if you could just remember that, that would be greatly appreciated. I think that's all of the announcements. And so as a sign of God's presence in this house of prayer, we light the Christ candle, a reminder that the love of God, the love of Christ, burns in each of our hearts this day. On this Remembrance Day, when we remember those who sacrificed their lives for the sake of peace, we recognize that peace always begins in the world with us. And so I invite us to take a moment to pass the peace with those with whom we may be in conflict, or with those who are near and dear to us, to keep establishing that sense of peace. Let us take this time to make peace with God, with ourselves, and with one another. Prophet Micah reminds us, what does the Lord require of you but to seek justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God? Let us sing, what does the Lord require of you? Let us open our hearts in prayer. Gracious God, we give thanks that you are as close to us as our next breath. Help us to walk humbly with you. Help us to know that we are not gods, but humans. Help us to treat one another with respect, recognizing the humanity of one another. Help us to admit when we are wrong, that we might make amends and do better. May your spirit of humility flow through each one of us this day, as we recognize our deep need of you and of one another. Encourage us, challenge us, comfort us, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask, humbly. Amen. I'd like to invite and thank Dana and Don Goodblood for the reading of our scripture today. stop for a moment, because I know that mic wasn't on, and our friends at home are not going to be able to hear without that mic being on. So I'm going to, can you make sure that the microphone is working?
From the Hebrew Scriptures, we hear the Spirit of God inviting us into humility and away from war. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. God shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. God has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God.
From the Christian Scriptures, we are reminded to live in humility and unity with one another. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Finally, all of you have unity of spirit, sympathy, love for one another, a tender heart, and a humble mind.
Thank you so much. Trump walks into a bar and is surprised to see that the bartender is a genie. The genie says, "What'll you have?" Trump says, "Give me something that I'll regret in the morning." So the genie gives him a conscience, empathy, and humility. Poor Trump, it's been a very difficult week for him, and he will be in our prayers. For the last few weeks, we have been exploring how love needs to be our way of life. And so in keeping with Gary Chapman's book, we have reflected on the practice of kindness, of gratitude, of honesty, of patience, of courtesy, and now we turn to humility. So I invite you to just take a moment to reflect on a person you would describe as humble. It might be a grandparent or parent, or a former colleague, a friend. What is it about them that makes them humble? Someone who recognizes that they are human and not God. Someone who recognizes that they are not in control. Someone who sees themselves realistically, who is aware of both their strengths and their mistakes, their weaknesses. And someone who is able to admit when they have made a mistake. Someone who puts the needs of others ahead of their own. Someone who is able to be a good loser and concede defeat when they have lost. I think in these last few days, we have all witnessed firsthand what humility is not. And yet our scriptures this morning uphold humility as one of the key attributes that constitutes living a spiritual life of love. If we desire to be loving, to be whole, to be holy, if we seek to be godly, we are first asked to recognize and come to terms what it means to be human. Humility demonstrates that the closer we come in our understanding of our humanity, ironically, the closer we draw to godliness. So what are the signs of a truly humble human person? Humble people are aware they are human and not God. Humble people know the difference. As theologian Daniel Hawk puts it, the basic human problem is that everyone believes that there is a God, and I'm it. But people who are humble are not confused and think they are God. But they do, as our scripture reminds us, make an intentional choice to walk with God. From our scripture this morning, the prophet Micah makes it clear what the purpose of humanity actually is. What does the Lord require of you but to seek justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God? People who walk with God are those who recognize that everything they are and everything they do is due to the grace of God. On the day of the election, Joe Biden, a Roman Catholic, went to his church to pray. And then on the walls of his boyhood living room in Scranton, Pennsylvania, wrote these words: "From this house to the White House, by the grace of God. 11/03/2020. Humble people recognize that they can do nothing apart from the grace and support and guidance and love of God. It is well documented that they called Abraham Lincoln old camel knees because he wore the floorboards out beside his bed from praying to God so much, because he was continually asking for guidance and direction in order to unify a country during a civil war. Humble people know that they are where they are in life because of the grace of God and all of the other people who help to make them who they are. And humble people go to God for guidance in all things. Humility is foundational to all the other spiritual attributes because humility begins with a profound awareness that we are human and not God. And so we are not in control of very much at all. And so we need to be on our knees in prayer, guided by the grace of God in all our decisions. At Knox, our mission statement begins with these words: guided by the creative spirit of God. This recognizes that you and I can do nothing unless the spirit of God is behind us and wills it. The Latin word humus, meaning earth, is the very same root word for human and humility. When we are humble, we remember we are made of dirt and clay and are not in control of things. People with humility want to please God and not ourselves. Humble people know they are human and not God. Humble people are lifelong students of holiness. Humble people are continually working on improving ourselves as human beings. We know we are not imperfect. We know we are not perfect and never will be. As Augustine said, if you plan to build a tall house of virtues, you must first lay deep foundations of humility. I think as Christians we often forget what the word disciple means. We think it means a follower of Christ. But a disciple is first and foremost always a student. We are students of the ways of Christ, always in the process of learning and being taught and becoming better today than we were yesterday. So humility is all about recognizing when we make mistakes and when we are wrong and when we have done harm and apologizing and asking for forgiveness from those we have wronged, repenting and turning in a different direction. As the writer of the Book of Chronicles imagines God saying, "If my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." If we want to heal, we have to admit where we have been wrong. Humble people know that we don't have all the answers, that we often make mistakes every single day. So when we are practicing humility, we are able to admit our weaknesses and our defeats graciously and try as students of the way to do better next time. As someone's grandmother continually reminded him, "You are not the best human being, and neither are you the worst human being, but you are in the process of becoming a better human being today than you were yesterday." Humble people are students of holiness. And humble people put others ahead of themselves. As Paul's letter to the Philippians states, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves." Humility is one of those strange attributes that as soon as one believes that we have acted humbly, "Oh, I was really humble today," we can be assured that we have stepped out of that state of humility. Because when we act in humility, we have not even given a thought to ourselves at all, but have only considered the welfare and the highest good of another. So I offer two examples from the chapter on humility from Gary Chapman's book, Love as a Way of Life. Two people were being considered for a job promotion, and there was a significant pay increase attached to it. So their boss called them in for an interview. One of the candidates was older and had worked for the organization for years, had a lot of experience. The other candidate was a younger and very bright and energetic. When the younger one was interviewed, he asked who else was being considered for the job. And his boss told him about the other older, more experienced candidate. The young person paused and then suggested that the older person be given the promotion because they had far more experience and would be the better person for the job. And besides, he could learn under the mentorship of the other person and grow more experienced. The younger person pointed out to their boss that he would have all sorts of time to grow through the company, but this might be the other person's last opportunity for a significant promotion. His boss took the young person's recommendation, and the young person was mentored and enjoyed a wonderful friendship with the older person who was promoted. When we're in a state of humility, our own needs matter far less, and the needs of the other are what is most important to us. Similarly, there was a couple who had just had a blowout argument about where they were going to go for a holiday. I'm sure none of us have ever had a blowout argument. The one wanted to have a private getaway with just the two of them. The other wanted to go away on a vacation with their family, with whom they were very close. So in the midst of a deadlock about what they should do, when the argument got really heated, they decided to cool it. And each of them went away to do some thinking about where they were going to go. But rather than go away and try to come up with reasons why their needs were justified, they both took time to consider the other's point of view. The one thought about how much their spouse loved being with their family and spending time with them, and made the decision to put aside their wants, even though they were very tired of sharing vacations with the other's family and wanted to spend more time with their partner. The other went away and decided that their partner really loved spending time alone and that they hadn't had a lot of time alone together, and so decided that that's what they would do for their vacation. I'm not sure how they settled the disagreement, but what's important is that they both humbled themselves and came back to offer the other what was best for their partner. Humble people care less about being right or getting their own way and care more about what is doing right for the sake of another and for their unity. As Gary Chapman puts it, humility involves a peacefulness of heart that allows you to stand aside in order to affirm the value of someone else. As our scripture encourages us, all of you have unity of spirit, sympathy, love for one another, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Humble people put others first, ahead of themselves. So, the truly humble person is very aware that they are human and not God. They are lifelong students of holiness and continually practice becoming a better human being. They put the needs of others ahead of their own. In a few minutes, we're going to see the faces of those who have been humbled, because today is Remembrance Day, a day when we remember those who sacrificed their lives for something greater than themselves, whether they sacrificed their youth or time with their family, or their very lives. They put the lives of those who would come after them first, ahead of their own lives. How many conflicts in our homes, in our schools, in our churches, in our communities, in our workplaces, in our families, in our world, could be resolved before even reaching a state of conflict, if we practiced humility, if we could recognize that we are all human, no one is better or worse than another, that other humans have equal rights before God. If we could practice humility by each of us trying to become better and recognizing that when we have made mistakes, we need to ask for forgiveness and forgive ourselves and one another for our humanity. How different would the world be if we could live with greater humility and care less about having our own needs met and cared more about the needs of someone else? What would that mean for Palestine and Israel? What would that mean for climate change? What would that mean for relationships between varied races? What would that mean for resolving the widening gaps between the affluent and the poor in our own community? What would that mean for healing the division so deep right now in the United States? How would practicing humility in all of our relationships transform them, heal them, restore them? You and I, we all long for peace in our lives. But perhaps peace can only become more possible when we practice humility and listen less to our own clamorings and listen more to the needs of others. Maybe then we will be able to beat our spears into pruning hooks and our swords into plows and learn to study war no more. So today on Remembrance Day 2020, I invite each of us to recommit ourselves to love as a way of life by practicing humility in our lives as we reflect on the faces of those who have loved with humility and sacrificed their lives for peace and our freedom. May it be so.
Thank you.
I'd invite those who are able to please stand for the last post, a minute of silence and reveille. Please be seated. So, with our hearts full of remembrance, we continue in a state of prayer. Holy One, we stoop to our knees in recognition that it is within you that we live and move and have our very being. And we stoop in humility when we reflect on those who have sacrificed their time portion of their life and some their very lives for the sake of doing justice and bringing peace. For their humility, we honor and give thanks. In this time of conflict, in this time of pandemic, in this time of climate disaster, we pray for those who are struggling with COVID-19. We pray for those who are grieving. We stand in solidarity with those who are alone and lonely. We stand with the people of the Philippines. And we pray this day for the United States. And we ask that you would help to heal their divisions and bring healing to their land. O God, come and fill our hearts with your peace. We pray this day for all those among us who are ill, of body, mind, heart, and spirit. We pray for all those who live in chronic pain, and we pray for their relief. We pray this day for all those among us who are enduring cancer treatments, and we pray for healing and restoration of their bodies. We pray this day for all those among us who are facing and waiting surgeries, and those who are caring for them. We pray for all those who are in recovery and pray for a speedy healing. We pray for all those among us who every day live under the burden of depression. We pray that their spirits and their hearts might be infused and lifted up. We pray this day for all those among us who are struggling financially and who worry over the burden of not having enough to survive. We pray this day for all those who are separated from their families in this time, for all those who long for a hug or a touch. O God, in this time of separation, come and fill our hearts with your peace. Silence, we bring before our God other burdens that are on our hearts, and we lift them to you for care and for healing and for our own awareness. Spirit, we give thanks that we do not journey alone, but that you are our constant companion through life's journey. We trust that you have heard all cries from the hearts in this place, from the hearts at home, and from around the world, for you love us all. Continue to walk with us as we say together the prayer that Jesus taught all those who would choose to follow after him. Our Father and Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We listen to the words and sing, "Make me a channel of your peace," a song based on the poem written by the prayer written by St. Francis of Assisi so many centuries ago, reminding us that we need to be channels of Christ's peace.
Make me a channel.
Go forth this day, for you know what it means to be human. Go forth this day to put others ahead of ourselves. Go forth this day to seek justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God. And as you go, may the deep love of God surround you, and the peace and the gentleness of the Christ guide you in all you say and do. And may the Holy Spirit fill you and give you courage and strength and peace. Amen.